Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 17, okay? We'll be following on from last week that we talked about how we work with people who offended us. But let's then, as we've been reading from Luke chapter 17, there's a break from our regular Romans. We look at the whole area of forgiveness today. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 to 10. We'll read from verse 1. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 to number 10. All right, ready? 1, 2, begin. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone will hang about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, thy brother rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. That's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we may hear your word. Teach us, Lord, what it means to forgive. Lord, forgiveness was in your heart when you died on the cross for our sins. And today, as humans, we're just trying to understand, Lord. And I pray that the forgiveness of Christ will be shown to us through the passages that will be taught. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us, Lord, if there's someone here who may have been hurt, bad things may have been done, said in this person's life, and Lord, for years or months or weeks or days, perhaps, I don't know, Lord, and that the forgiveness is hard to give. I pray today you show them from thy word. You will speak to us in a special way, through your word, through the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And I was doing this kind of slides. I realized this is the same introduction as last week. The Lord Jesus Christ actually mentioned Luke 17, verse 1. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Okay, offenses, later on I'll describe a little bit. But offenses are probably just wrong things, are just wrong things. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ actually said that offenses will come. We live in this world that people will offend us. Okay, people will offend us. Okay, how many of you have never been offended? Put up your hand. So no one has done anything wrong to you before. If that's the case, we live in a perfect world, at least the perfect part of Singapore and the Woodlands and all that, right? All right? That's something natural. But the Lord Jesus actually goes on to say, woe to him to the person through whom the offenses come. The Lord Jesus, the word woe means a curse. Okay, the 被咒, he's a curse. And the Lord Jesus Christ cursed to the person through whom the offenses come because you're actually affecting someone. But you know what's a millstone? The Bible says next, if it were better for him that a millstone, you know what's a millstone? The millstone is not the stick part, it's the circle part. That's a millstone. You know what the Lord Jesus said? It is better for the person who offended someone that a millstone will hang about his neck and will cast into the sea, okay? And then for he that should offend one of these little ones. There's a millstone up there. Okay? You know, the Lord Jesus wants us to take heed, to be very careful that we don't offend people. Because the offender, the Lord Jesus Christ, pronounces the curse that it's better for the person to have this millstone. And by the way, they're actually grinding things. This one can only be pushed by a donkey or a horse or some animal that's very strong. Okay, so it is very heavy. And the idea is that it's better for you to have this thing hung and throw yourself into the sea than for you to offend one of these little ones. Okay? And the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to take heed to ourselves that we not be the offender. But because we're not perfect, we will definitely offend. Alright? But In verse 2, the word offend, I just want to define the word offend for us. The word offend actually comes from the Greek word skandalazo, which we get the word scandal from. Okay? Scandal always affects someone. So when we are the person perpetrating that scandal, that's why God actually says, please be very careful. Be very careful. Especially as believers in Christ, we need to be careful that we don't offend in word, in deed, in our life sometimes, the way we live our lives. Offend, therefore, is doing something or living in a way to cause someone not to follow Christ. Because we have to be very careful. What Jesus was targeting the little ones, okay? Meaning that you need to live your lives so that you don't offend these little ones. The little ones have two meanings. Number one, it refers to children. It refers to children. Okay? May I apply this to us? For all of us who have faith for a certain period of time, when the little ones see our Christian lives, there needs to be nothing that will cause them not to follow Jesus. Because otherwise, Jesus says, it is better for us to have the millstone thrown, hung around our neck, and be thrown into the sea. That's the first one. Because the little ones does refer to little children. Okay? But the little ones also, in context, do refer to young believers. Believers who may not have the full maturity to understand everything. And therefore, we are to be careful that we live in a way that will not cause them to stumble in their faith. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is very careful about that. And because he says, take heed, all right? We need to take heed to ourselves, which is the next verse. We need to be careful of this. Question is, might we be doing something now that will hinder someone from following Christ? Okay, this is the starting point of the whole area of offenses. I know some people can get stumbled by the way I live. I need to be very careful. You need to be praying for me. I stumble all the time spiritually. I may do different things. Why in the world did Pastor did that? Right? Now, I probably have stumbled you somewhere along the course of my ministry, and I apologize for that, but you need to let me know. But you know, I don't intend that. I don't intend that. But you know, all of us are susceptible. No one is so mature that you will not stumble someone. But that doesn't mean we don't aim to be careful with our lives. Does that make sense? Okay? Just because I don't meet the mark. Maybe some mark doesn't mean I don't try reach that of maturity and making sure my words, my life doesn't offend someone. You know, that's part of growing. Okay? Offend, therefore, is doing something or living in a way that will cause someone not to follow Christ. It's something that we are doing. You know, this applies for us across the board. You know, our behaviors, our thoughts, our attitudes. You know, one of the things, my children know me the best. They know my ins and outs, my ups and downs, good and bad. We can't run away from that. And many times I do have to apologize to them for the type of testimony I was. And I think all of us have that as well. Okay? But we need to be very careful that we don't offend. So, how do we not be offended? Is it possible that we are not offended? Okay? Yeah, people will offend, so we need to be careful. But over the other side, how do we not to be offended? Okay, when people do things, how not to be offended? There's one verse in the Bible, the only way that you will not be offended if you are in the Word of God. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It doesn't mean you won't be, it doesn't mean that you won't like, why did he say that? It doesn't mean that you won't respond humanly and say, why did he have to scold me? But you know, it won't offend you. It won't stumble you. You will keep on pressing on. Now, I've been called many names before, and I think you have been called many names before by other people, but you know, does it stop you from following Christ? No. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, you can say anything about me, but it's not going to stumble me. Why? Because I'm in God's word, or you are in God's word. The believer in Christ's words, when he knows what Jesus says, when he looks at the way people live, he's not going to get stumbled. In other words, he's not going to stop his Christian life because someone else is not walking right with God. Or someone else said something. Or someone, that person offended me. Does that make sense? Sometimes we do get angry at things that people do. It doesn't mean we stop our Christian life. There are some people who get offended and they stop their Christian life. That's a stumbling block, okay? So how do we not get offended? Love God's law. Love His word. Study it. Understand what Jesus is saying. All right? So with that in mind, in terms of introduction, we're going to look at, but do we as believers, what do we as believers do when we are actually offended? Okay, just now I say how many of you have never been offended, right? How many of you have been offended in your life? Put your hand. No one? Oh, come on, guys. All of us have been offended. Okay, so hopefully, if those who have never been offended, thank God, you must be in God's word. So pray for us so that we won't get so easily offended. All right? But you know, what do we do? As believers, Jesus taught us, let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespasses against you, now it's getting personal. Jesus says, if someone offends you, okay? Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. What? Does God give us the permission to scold him? Yes. Now, we don't beat him up or, you know, wrestle him to the ground and punch his legs out, okay? The word rebuke has the idea of admonishing, telling him, you say, hey, you shouldn't have done that to me, you know. It's perfectly all right in the economy of God's will. That means God says, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. The idea is highlight it to him. Say, hey, you shouldn't have stolen my thing. You should not have done that. You should have whatever. It's okay to tell the person. If he repents, if he changes his mind, say, oh yeah, I'm wrong, I should, then forgive him. That's easy, right? It's easy if the brother repents. You know, in modern day Singapore, they say, you shouldn't have done that. Who are you to judge me? I hope we don't go down that track. But let's listen to what Jesus says first. If the person offends me, I tell the person, and you know, listen, if someone offends you, don't go to that third party, go to that person. Are you listening? Because that's gossip. So this is one of the number one church killers in many countries of the world. Jesus said, if your brother offends you, go to that brother, no one else. Please listen to our Savior. He wants us to learn, to grow, because it does take faith, it does take courage to go to that person. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's the right thing to do. Go to that person, tell that person, okay? And it says, if he repents, forgive him. All right, so you go and tell him he repents. And if he trespasses against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. First principle, we are to forgive every time we're offended. That's what Jesus taught us. If he offend you 7 times in the same day, he turn again and say, you need to forgive him. All right? Jesus says, pay attention to this. Be cautious about yourself. If the person offend you 1 time or 7 times in a day, Jesus actually said, thou shall forgive him. It's not, no, you think about it. No, if it hurts your feelings too much, then don't. No, you will forgive him. All right? Let me define forgiveness. You know what's the meaning of forgiveness? Forgiveness is losing the person of the debt. Losing the person of debt. For example, let's say if Asher, or I owe Asher $1 million, okay? Oh, that's a big sum. Maybe $10, lah. Okay? Like, child only, won't get $1 million. So I owe him $10, and I can't pay, all right? What Asher do is that if he forgive me, the $10 means, he will no longer require me to pay the $10 to him anymore. Does that make sense? So I go free. Do I still owe him the $10? Yes, as in I can't pay him, but he says, never mind. I let you go. That's the meaning of forgiveness. Forgiveness, interestingly, comes from the Greek word grace. In other words, I owe him $10. The right thing to do is for me to pay him. But because I don't have any money to pay, Asher says, never mind, Pastor, I forgive you the $10. By the way, I don't owe him $10, huh? Okay? Don't mean, okay, just be clear, all right? Using it as an illustration. And then he, because of his grace, said, Pastor, don't worry. I know you need your lunch. Don't pay me the $10. So he released me from that debt. Do I still need to pay him the $10? No, I'm free. But actually, do I still owe him $10? Yes, but in his mind, he canceled it out. Does that make sense? That's forgiveness, canceling the debt out, all right? So if seven times people offend you, seven times you must cancel the debt. You owe me something. You know who bear the loss? Who bears the loss? He. But he's willing to. That's why grace is involved. Grace is involved. Does that make sense? It's grace for the offender. Okay? So, we need to forgive every time. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, which is the next verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 22. Same question is asked of Peter. Some of the verses is actually also printed inside. So I'll just go ahead and read, okay? Now this one I don't think is printed. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus expanded this. Jesus says unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times." Peter, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. How many times, Cherubel? 70 times seven equals? Don't forget your maths. I know your PSLE finished already, but don't forget your maths. 70 times seven is? 490. Is Jesus really asking us to count to 490? No, he's asking us, forgive until you lose count. That is the Lord Jesus. That's why the point, the truth is we have to forgive every time we're offended. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Why does the Lord ask us, require us, regard that from us? Okay? Or rather, why do we have to forgive every time? Ephesians 4, 31, 32. The Bible says, because let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking resides in a human heart against someone usually when there's some offenses that come. Okay? God says, take all this and put it away. Put it away. In other words, we have to honestly face ourselves and ask ourselves against this person, do I have anything? If you have, God says, put it out. That's what God says. Let all bitterness be put away. All right? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Two reasons why we forgive. Number one, because it's a commandment of the Lord. It's a commandment of the Lord. Okay? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's a commandment from God. It's just like your teacher said, do your tutorial. Why must I do my tutorial? I say, do your tutorial, okay? You know, sometimes you ask questions that we try to kind of wiggle out of the work. But you know, our teacher said, can you please do your tutorial because it will help you in your exams. Make sense? It makes sense. Okay, but you may have other reasons. But number one, God says it's a commandment from God. If that's all there is to it, will you obey the Lord? Let's say if someone offends us, and now we learn, oh, God, it's a commandment of God to forgive someone. Will we forgive the person? Not that we should. As pastor, I say you ought to, because you love God. And say, God, because I don't feel like forgiving this person, but because you told me in your word to forgive, I will. Okay? But the second reason I believe is more compelling, even as God, for Christ's sake. See, he goes back to the gospel. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The number two is because of how the Lord forgave you, not that the Lord forgave you. We're going to look at how the Lord forgave us. In Matthew chapter 18, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 18, if you ever want to study about offenses, study there. The whole chapter is about offenses, how we get restored. But Matthew chapter 18, I've studied this many times. I preach it, you know, as I studied, I really grew and I really understood. I believe I understood better what the Lord meant when he used this passage to teach us on forgiveness. Let me just read. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a servant, certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, that means he began to ask one by one of them to come out and give an account. Reckon means to give an account. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. He owed him 10,000 talents. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, remember, loosed him, and forgave his debt. Loosed him, in other words, let him go, and forgave his debt. In other words, he's canceled that 10,000 talents. Now, let's have a study of the 10,000 talents. You can go to that website. Not that I'm introduced, but be careful what you see on the website, okay? All right? Let me give you a breakdown of the 10,000 talents. How much did the servant actually owe the master? One talent is equal to 6,000 days' wages. Okay? 35 kilograms of gold equals to 6,000 denarius during the time. 1 pence. In the Bible, 1 pence or a silver coin is the wage for one day. One talent is 6,000 days' wages. So, how many days must a man work to pay off one talent? How many days must a man work to pay off one talent? First answer will get a sweet, quick. Quick, those doing maths. I know. How many days must the man work to pay off one talent? Sorry, how many years? Sorry, how many years must a man work to pay off one talent? How many years? Sorry. How many years? How many years? Some of you are busy doing a calculation. That's good. Can you shout out the answer, someone? 16 years. 16 years, okay. Approximately 16.5 years to pay off one talent. Are you listening? So, what's the next question? This is what I do in youth. How much does he owe the master in terms of years of wages? Okay, he owed 10,000 talents, right? Right? How long must he work to pay it off? How long must the servant work to pay off 10,000 talents of which? 165,000 years. If you're a Christian, that should break your heart. You know what it means? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ means? And when I share my children, that's just a story. A story that should break our heart. The Lord Jesus Christ used this to show we can never pay back our sin to God. Never for 165,000 years. Never. But then there was one question that came out and then said, but Dad... The servant said, "A master, have mercy on me, I'll pay thee all." What will you do when you are desperate? I'll do anything for you. I'll pay back everything, right? That's a desperate plea. But you know what? Even that, do you realize that plea of this unforgiving servant was insincere? How do I know that? After he was forgiven, he went out, he did not forgive the other person. Point. When we beg God to forgive us, he will. But this insincere servant went out after he was forgiven, refused to forgive another servant who owed him 3 months' wages. What's 3 months versus 165,000 years of wages owed? You know why you need to forgive? Because God forgave us something that we can never pay him back. I don't know about you. Initially, I thought it was just 20 years. I believe I've taught that before last year when I studied again. That's why I actually referred to that website who studied it and their couple. What I just wanted to make sure is correct, and it is. We all got 165,000 years of wages that we can never pay back. in one lifetime, maximum, perhaps, if you're really stretching it, you can probably work 50, 60 years. How long does it take for you? How many lifetimes do you think that will be? Christian, if you're a Christian, the Lord needs to really work in our hearts and help us to understand why we need to forgive. If Jesus says, you owe me so much, I cancel out your debt. You know, that's the first point. We are to forgive every time we are offended. Number two, in Luke 17, verse 5 and 6, now does it make sense when the apostles said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith? God, there is no way we can forgive every time. But, interesting, the apostles did not tell Jesus, no, that's not possible. What did the apostles do? Ask God to increase their faith. To do what? So that they can honor the Lord in forgiving every time. Does it make sense? Number two, forgiveness requires faith. You see, you and I will never forgive. Because we are so sinful. You and I will never say, well, sometimes you may give in. But you know what? Give in one time, give in two times, give in three times, fourth time, I'll give in to him. You know, that's human nature. We are sinful. And so how many times have you heard, you know how many times I forgive him or not? Have you heard that before? You know how many times I forgive that person or not? Then we might need to change the question. Do you know how many times Jesus has forgiven you or not? Do you realize we sin countless times every day? And every sin, when you confess, is forgiven by Christ, 100% made clean. Forgiveness requires faith. That is why the apostles said, Lord, and it's interesting, in it I see the humility of the apostles. Say, God, this is a tall order. You are asking me to go against human nature. Yes. But that's why the apostles, in reflection in their own lives, said, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we need faith to honor you in this. We all need faith to honor Jesus in forgiveness, don't we? And some of you may have been hurt deeper than others. Some of you may have hurt, maybe after, as I'm talking, it's bringing up things that have happened maybe years and years and years ago that you have not dealt with. And you are finding, oh, how am I supposed to forgive this guy? You need to confront, you and I need to confront ourselves, not with a friend that have offended you. You need to confront yourself with your Savior. How much He has forgiven us. And whether or not at the cross, when you realize, Lord, you forgave me 165,000 years of sin against you, which I can never pay back. Who am I not to forgive my other brother? When you have done business with God, it's so easy to forgive everyone, amen? And that's what we need to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to increase our faith, because in forgiveness, we can never forgive in the right way unless we've come to the cross, because only Jesus Christ forgave the right way. Cancel out the sin, set us free. Okay? It requires faith. It is always a struggle to forgive someone who has offended. Now, I'm not talking about small things, okay? I'm talking about real hurts. But of course, small things also can be included if you get real hurt. It's always hard to forgive someone. I may be raising up things, but I believe God wants to deal with us. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 37. These two passages, I want to show you the life of someone who was really offended. I think many of you will know what I'm referring to, Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, verse 27, 28. Let me just read, okay? For time, I'll just be reading. I want to tell you what happened. Genesis 37, the Bible says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, and he's our brother in our flesh. And his brethren was content. Joseph was a favorite of Israel, Jacob, the father. Therefore, the 11 brothers hated him. Parents, don't have favorites in your family. You are going to create rivalry, okay? And so, in verse 28, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, And they drew up and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. The price of a slave. And they brought him, Joseph, into Egypt. That was what happened to Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Ben Roy, if your sister sold you into slavery? And you say, hey, Ben, no, just kidding. Okay, just kidding. Can you imagine? Someone who is supposed to be flesh and blood, someone supposed to be close to you, betrayed you. All right? And that was what happened to Joseph, poor thing. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 42 to... Let's turn to Genesis chapter 42. This was the reason why that happened. Verse 21 to 24. There was famine. The brothers went into Egypt to buy corn. And then they were confronted by Joseph, who was there. In verse 21, and they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul. Why did I bring up that verse? Did you know how Joseph felt when he was being lifted up and realized he was being sold into slavery? Now, this was more than 10 years after it happened. Are you listening? More than 10 years after it happened. And the Bible said, and they said one to another, 10 years after, we are guilty, we are verily guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. You know what it means? You know what it means? When Joseph was captured and he realized he was being sold into slavery, you know what he did? Brother, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Why are you... We heard the distress and we will not listen to him. At that point of time, Joseph was broken. My own brothers is betraying me. And that was what came to mind. The history of Joseph was silent, but this is a clue to the fact that Joseph was so broken by the fact that his brothers would betray him. Have you been betrayed before? That was what he felt. Can you imagine the pain in his heart? I mean, these were his own brothers. And in Genesis chapter 21, and then in verse, later on he said in verse 22, and Reuben answered them saying, say I not unto you, do not sin against this child. He will not hear, therefore behold also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. Why? The Jews. For he spake unto them by interpreter. Notice verse 24. And Joseph turned himself from them and wept. Why do you think he cried after more than 10 years? Do you think that, now I'm going to deal with my brothers, man. I'm in charge. No. A Christian, remember last week, will not take revenge. But Joseph was broken. Why was he broken? He didn't know when to reveal himself. These are his brothers. But when he heard that Judah said, remember Joseph, he wept. Because he brought up all those bitterness and perhaps things that should have been put away a long time ago. Let's turn to Genesis chapter. Okay. Genesis chapter 45. Okay, this is something I didn't. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 43. 43 verse 30 is just still there. The second time the brothers went back again to collect the food because they ran out. Notice again. Genesis 43 verse 30. The Bible says, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered his chamber and wept there. Why did Joseph cry again? But this time his heart is changing. He said, look, I want my brothers. I love them. Let's turn to Genesis 45. I'll just give you these few steps, but you can read the entire passage. It's a wonderful demonstration of God working in Joseph's life. Then in chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. Okay, this was a process of time, okay? And then he cried, cause every man to go out from me. He was telling his servants, you guys get out of this place. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brother. He wept aloud, he cried. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. In Genesis 45, Joseph came to the point and said, I'm your brother. Is dad still alive? His brother's like, whoa, what's happening here? Is that really Joseph? In verse 4, a very key thing in forgiveness. Four words. Come near to me. When you genuinely forgive someone, have you ever heard this when you can't forgive someone? I forgive you, but I never want to see you again. That's not forgiveness. That is not forgiveness. I say again, that is not forgiveness. I'm not saying that, Pastor, can I have some time before I say, yes, you can. But when you make a decision never to see that person again, that's not forgiveness. Because Joseph said, come near to me. You know what that is? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. I pray you, I beg of you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. I think verse 5 is the nailing point. It's the thing that we need to learn. Now, therefore, don't be grieved, nor angry with yourself that ye sold me thither, for God did send me before to preserve life. You know what genuine forgiveness is? When you see in the offense the plan of God. When you see in the offense the plan of God. And I was thinking through this for some time as I was thinking through. I preached this message last year. Do you remember? May 17? About forgiveness. I was thinking it through again. We can genuinely forgive the person when we see the offense in the plan of God. Because if we see in our own plan, we will never forgive. Because it offends us, it stops our plan, it hits us, and it doesn't help us to move forward, and we get angry at the person because it's us. And the reason why we don't forgive is all about us. Pride, selfishness. We won't even say sorry. See? But Joseph said, can you imagine Joseph telling his brothers, it's okay that you sold me into slavery. I think that's funny. It's okay that you sold me into slavery and put me through all this pain. It's okay. No, Joseph wasn't minimizing what the brothers did. But Joseph saw something the brothers did not see. Joseph saw the hand of God. And there's something important in forgiveness. Christians, if you would look at your offense through your eyes, you will always be offended. If you saw the thing that someone did to you through your own eyes, through your own experience, you will always remain offended. But when you come to the cross and say, Lord, I deserve more than what this guy did to me, who am I not to forgive? Number one. Number two, if God gives you the insight to see your plan as Joseph did, remember, Joseph saw God's plan. Joseph actually told the brothers, it wasn't you who sent me here, it was God. It was God who sent me here so that I can be second in command to save the children of Israel and the entire known world at that time. Did you know that? Did you know God? Did you know that? That's our God. He can even take an offense and save the world. The offense of the Jews against Jesus Christ became our salvation. That's God. I don't know about you, amen to his wisdom. I praise God for his wisdom. But in your little situation when you're offended, is it possible that God can help you to see his plan to forgive? And that's an important truth. And so in verse 5, don't be grieved, but God did send me before you to preserve life. That's point number 2. Forgiveness requires faith. Point number 3, let's look at Luke chapter 17 as we close. This is the last part. But which of you having a servant? Okay, this truth is a pull out from these four verses. Which of you having a servant, plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him? In other words, you're a master, there's a servant. And when he's come to the field, go and sit down to meat. In other words, if you have a servant and he has been working hard in the field And then after you come in, will you as a master say, oh, you work so hard, I appreciate you, come and eat with me? No. He said, you, finish already, huh? Go and cook for me. Okay, verse 8. Will not rather say unto him, make ready where I may eat, sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, then you can go and eat. In other words, the servant is doing things, but the master is not appreciating it. Verse 9, doth he thank the servant? Does he appreciate the servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. That word means I know not, or I think not. In other words, you say, I don't think the master will appreciate that because he's the master. Why should he say thank you to the servant? But does the servant still do it? The answer is yes. In verse 10, likewise, ye, when you have done all these things which are commanded you, say, in other words, Jesus says, when you have obeyed me, you know what does that tell us? Forgiveness is a commandment to be obeyed. And we are to obey it, even when at the end of the day, people don't appreciate us, that we forgive them. He says this, when ye shall have done all these things, specifically in the context about forgiveness, if you have forgiven because you were commanded, you need to say, we are unprofitable servants. Remember the 165,000 years. We have done that which is our duty to do. Forgiveness is to be given, even though the other person do not appreciate it. And that is what the Lord is teaching us today. As we close, is there someone here who say, Pastor, it's hard? I said, I hope the Lord will speak to our hearts about forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you can't do last week's message about how we need to treat people who offend us. Don't take revenge. Be kind to them. You know, even if you be kind to them, but you have a heart of you have a heart that haven't forgiven, it doesn't work. You need to go to the cross and remember the 165,000 years that you owe God. And God says, my son, my child, I'm canceling out everything. All I'm asking you is to obey me. Go forgive that person too. Go forgive that person too. When the Lord Jesus Christ, remember in Matthew chapter 5, he says, if any of you bring your gift to the, before you put your money in the offering bag, okay, and remember that your brother have ought against you, what do? Leave there thy gift. Let me explain, let me just show you. I'm bringing this sacrifice to God, and the priest is going to cut off his head, take the blood and sprinkle, and then, someone has something against me. There's an offense. You know what you do? Put the ox there. Put the gift first. Don't finish the sacrifice. Go settle that thing, and then come. You know why? God has more delight in obedience than sacrifice. Does that make sense? God is more interested in us. You see, if we're right with God, not right with man, you're not right with God. I say again, if you say you're right with God, but you're not right with man, you are not right with God. Does that make sense? Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, if you will not forgive your trespasser, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Enemy. In the area of forgiveness, we need to learn to, you know, is there something that you can't forgive? There is nothing in this world, nothing in this world that the Lord Jesus Christ can offer. Only one thing, when we don't trust him or we don't accept him, as you say, he can't forgive that sin, the sin of unbelief and lack of repentance from faith, from sin. He can't forgive that. But there's nothing that, you know, there's no sin in your life, no sin in your life or anyone's life, I don't care what it is, you can think of the worst that God cannot forgive. Nothing. Because Jesus died for every sin, paid for every sin. All God wants us to do is, number one, be honest with him, confess it, and say, Lord, I remember what you did for me at the cross. You see, the cross needs to be the anchor point of your forgiveness. Anything else, it will not be genuine forgiveness. when you understand I forgive in the name of Christ because of what he's done for me, you know what God then says? You are free. And it's so easy then to forgive people. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And Lord, we will learn to forgive every time we are offended. We will learn to forgive as Jesus did. And that we need faith to forgive that. And that, Father, we will learn to forgive even when people don't appreciate it. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Is there someone here who says, Pastor, I need to forgive. I need to forgive because I realize finally that I need to do my business with God first. You see, our forgiveness will not be genuine, neither will it be permanent in our hearts unless we have dealt with it at the cross. Is there someone who said, Pastor, I'm hurting, but I know I need to do business with God with forgiveness? Please pray for me. Is there someone like that? Just put up right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you, brethren. Pray. Go to the cross yourself. Your relationship with Christ is so vital right now. Remind yourself of what he has done for you. And ask God to help you to forgive someone else. I'll be praying for you. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Don't allow your hindrance. Don't allow anything. Don't allow unforgiveness to eat you up. It can and it will if you let it. Leave it at the cross. Is there someone else? All right, let me pray. Father, I pray for these five brethren who have put up their hands. Lord, I don't know the pain they are going through. I don't know. It could be the Holy Spirit brought it up. I pray that as they deal with you at the cross, you will set them free, Lord. Once and for all, set them free from this, that the freedom of their Christian life can be seen and they will be able to do the things you want them to do. Set them free, help them to walk in the Spirit and then be faithful to you, Lord, in the different areas of their life. Lord, set them free from this thing that may have been binding them for so long. As we consider the cross, as we consider what Jesus has done for us, help them, Lord, to forgive at the cross, Lord, and never once and for all to bring it back again. As far as the east is from the west, so far you have removed our iniquities from us. Father, set my brethren free in their hearts as they go to you. Lord, only you can do that. We can't. I can preach, I can tell, but only you can set free, Lord. And I pray for the rest of us. Some of us may have thoughts in our minds about different things and we don't know how to deal with it. I pray, Father, that if we are Christians, Lord, we'll come to the cross as well. We will come and deal with you at the cross. And that then we will set our friends free. And that, Lord, our hearts will be set free to forgive. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. As you sing the closing hymn, His Roads for Mine, I pray you help us always to remember what you've done for us. That our forgiveness may be genuine, real, permanent, Lord. And that, Father, we will be free to live this life, putting away, Lord, this burden of perhaps bitterness and we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.